So what I'd like to talk about today is ksiva she'ena shel kayama. We know that to be chayev, you need ksiva shel kayama, permanent writing. What's the halacha for ksiva she'ena shel kayama? And from there, we're going to go to many of the practical modern applications of this question, things like typing on a computer or video surveillance and the like. So I'd like to begin by considering this question from the perspective of our discussion in the previous shiur. In the previous shiur, we were analyzing when is it that Hilchos Shabbos, Ksiva for Hilchos Shabbos is the same as for Hilchos Gittin, and when is it different? And we noted that in two places, we have a very interesting machlokas rishonim. One is with respect to black ink on top of red ink. According to Rashi, whatever the halacha is for Gittin, the halacha is for Shabbos. And according to the Rambam, that's not true. When it comes to Shabbos, you're certainly chayev, whereas when it comes to Gittin, it's not clear. Or it's invalid. And likewise, we had a machlokas with respect to chak tuchos. If you create a letter, not by writing the letter, but by carving out the surface surrounding the letter. So according to the Rashba, we equate Shabbos and Gittin, and therefore, just like Shabbos, your chayev, when you remove the gag of the ches to create two zainin, so to forget, even though chaktuchos is puzzle, that would be kasher, wouldn't be a violation or an application of chaktuchos. And according to the Ran, no, lachas machshavas asra Torah, for Shabbos you're chayiv, though for Gittin that wouldn't be considered ksivand. The possibility that we considered at the end of shir last time, suggested by some achronim, was as follows, that those who are mechalik between Shabbos and Gittin, like the Ran and the Rambam, maintain that when it comes to Gittin, you need a kosev, as we find from the halacha that the ksiv has to be lishma. And therefore, in the case of chaktuchos, though you have ksav, you end up with letters, with writing, but there's no kosev. That's why it's possible. And likewise, the same chisaron with respect to black on top of red. There's not a kosev because there's writing beforehand. Whereas when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, melechas machshavas asra Torah, you just need to produce writing, and therefore writing has been produced. That's one possibility, one way to understand the machlokas, as we mentioned last time. Now, if that's correct, you might be able to understand a number of interesting distinctions between Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos Gittin that the Rambam has as well. And that brings us to today's topic of Ksiva She'ena Shel Kayama. So the Rambam in Hilchos Gittin, Perek Dalet, take a look at Halach Aleph, Gimel Zayin, writes that if Kasav Al Ha'alin, you wrote on leaves, or Rasham Al Ha'or, it's a get, that is kosher. And even though, as we said, that we need Miskayim for get, this is kosher. However, in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Tes Vav and Tes Zayin, the Rambam writes that you're not chayv in those cases. So what's the difference? Presumably, because Shabbos you need miskayim, and this isn't miskayim. But if that's true, if it's not miskayim, then why is it kasher forget? Because again, the Rambam holds that forget you also need miskayim. So possibly, in light of the distinction that we suggested, we could give a similar type of answer. That what's the chisaron of eno miskayim in Hilchos Gittin? Perhaps the chisaron is in the maisa ksiva, whereas in Hilchos Shabbos, the chisaron is in the ksav. So there's a different standard. There's no reason to assume that they would require the same standard. For Shabbos, since it's a chisaron in the ksav, so maybe you need miskayim mamish. And there's no reason to assume necessarily that they would have the same standard because the requirement is coming from a different place. Now, if that's right, what's interesting is it turns out that sometimes Hilchos Shabbos is going to be more lenient and sometimes it'll be more stringent. With respect to chaktuchos, or ksav al gabi ksav, it's more stringent. When it comes to other cases, it's more lenient, like with respect to what's considered miskayim. Or likewise, certainly with respect to, let's say, writing with your left hand. With respect to writing with your left hand, for Shabbos, you're pater. Kosei b'smol, you're pater, as the Gemara says on Daf Kof Gimel Amud Aleph. Now, what about get? So the Rama writes in Eben Ha'ezer, Simen Kof Chav Gimel, that b'di eved, at the very least, ksiva b'smol, is kosher for a get. Why? Because there's a kosev. The way the Chalkos Mechokek over there, Siv Katan Hay, says it, is that it's because of Meleches Machsheves. So, therefore, it's Pater. And it's a Ptur that's only Shayach and Shabbos. Anyhow, what comes out is that Meleches Machsheves, however you say the exact Lamdas, Meleches Machsheves includes more things, like, again, Chaktuchos, according to the Ran, Ksiva Bismol, according to the Chalkos Mechokek. Includes more things like Chaktuchos, according to the Ran, and excludes things like Ksiva Bismol, according to the Chalkos Mechokek. And that might also relate to, again, the discrepancy in terms of what's considered Chalkayama or not. Is there another way to explain the difference in terms of what's considered Kayama between Shabbos and Gittin? So, the truth is, what's so interesting is the following. This is a point that the Pri Chadash points out, which is the Rambam, well, let's say it like this, let's take a step back. The Gemara in Shabbos, Kof Dalet Amud Beis, says that Ksiva Sheina Miskayamas is Pater. The Gemara in Gittin, Yotas Amud Aleph, the Mishnah in Gittin, says the same thing is true. Forget. The Mishnah over there has a machlokas, actually. B'chol kosvim, b'sam, b'sikva, b'kumos, b'kankantum, chol dar shal kayama. There's a machlokas. En kosvim, lo b'mashma, lo b'mei peres, v'lo b'shar dvarim, shen b'skayim. That's what the Mishnah says in Gittin. Now, there's a tosefta in Shabbos that to be chayav, you also need ksiva al gabe davar shal kayama. Not just that permanent ink, but on a permanent surface. And there's a Tosefta in Gittin that says the same thing about a get. Now, Tosfos, Chaf Aleph on the base in Gittin, says, okay, so therefore, we're going to equate them. So when it comes to get or for Shabbos, if you wrote on an Alei Shel Zayas, it's Kayama, other type of leaves, it would be Pater. Or invalid, because it's not miskayim. But the Rambam, as we noted, seems to distinguish. The Rambam in Gittin Dalet Gimel says that a get written on leaves is kosher. He doesn't say Gaf Gale Shel Zayas, like Tosfos does. And essentially then, he's paskining like the Tosefta in Shabbos, but not the Tosefta in Gittin, though they seem to be saying the same thing. So why would that be? And it's interesting because he did quote the other dinim from the Tosefta. So why here would he be machalik? So the Pri Chadash in Hilchos Gittin, Simen Kuf Chav Dalet Sif Beis, writes that there's two dinim of Eina Shel Kayama. There's a general principle that has to be Shel Kayama. And then there's another din that it has to be on a surface that's Kayim. That din is only true in Hilchos Shabbos because of Meleches Machsheves, as opposed to Gittin, where we don't do that. Now there's a Tosefta, in Hanami said the din is equal for both. The Rambam paskin the Tosefta in Hilchos Shabbos. He didn't paskin the Tosefta in Hilchos Gittin. The Pri Chadash says he thinks because it's against the Stam Mishnah in Gittin. That sounds like if you write on any surface, you're Chayiv. Doesn't make a difference. But again, one way or the other, the point is, the way, again, the Pri Chadash says it, is that all these differences are based off of Meleches Machsheves Asra Torah. Now, to be honest, it's easy to, like, every difference you see between Shabbos and Hilchos Gittin or any other Tchum, just say, oh, Meleches Machsheves Asra Torah. It's sometimes hard to predict exactly what Meleches Machsheves would demand and what it wouldn't demand. Why should Meleches Machshav Esei, the way the Pri Chodesh is saying it, is that it's not enough to just have Ksav that's Miskayim, but it needs to be on something that's Miskayim. Whereas for Gittin, as long as it's not Esher Lizdayef, there is no such requirement. But essentially, possibly, the explanation that we said last time could help explain this. But whether or not you like that, the Lamdisha point, what we really need to do over here in terms of Hilcha Shabbos is figuring out what does that mean practically. What is considered Siva Shel Kayama that's going to be Chayv on Shabbos? And when would it be Pater? And then we also have to figure out, is it ever Mutter? So let's start with the D'oraisa. What's considered Ksiva Shel Kayama? When are you Chayev? So maybe you would think that the only time you're Chayev is if it's literally permanent, it lasts forever. Is that Pashat? So we already saw the Rambam by Tzoveya also mentioned the requirement Shel Kayama. That was in Perek Tes Halacha Yud Gimel. And that was interesting because for Ksiva, the Mishnah says it. For Tzoveya, it's not in Shas. So the Magid Mishnah over there, he gave two explanations. He says, well, maybe the Rambam thought you could extrapolate Soveya from Kosev. Alternatively, the Magid Mishnah said the Rambam's view in Soveya comes from the Mishnah. The Mishnah, Zeh Klal Kol Ozen Melacha Lachtum Skayemes B'Shabbos Chayev. We saw at the time, there's two ways to read that Mishnah, Rashi and the Rambam. But the way the Rambam read the Mishnah was it meant all Melachos have to be Miskayem on Shabbos. Now, not only that, but the extreme way to read the Mishnah, probably the most literal way to read the Mishnah, this is the way the Shaar Tzion suggested, is that how did the Rambam read the Mishnah? Kol Ozen Melacha U'Melachto Miskayemes B'Shabbos. As long as it lasts Shabbos, you're Chayev. So if it lasts till the end of Shabbos, then you're Chayev. That's considered Melacha Miskayemes. It even sounds like, you know, maybe if you write something 5 hours from the end of Shabbos, it lasts 6 hours, you're chayev, which is a very strange idea. But certainly, according to the Rambam, if you think that the source for the Rambam is this halacha, so, you know, something that lasts 24 hours, that's going to be chayev. And maybe even something that lasts 5 hours. That's the view of the Rambam. Now, the Rambam gives some examples. The Rambam tells us if you write on a leaf of an olive, that's miskayim and you're chayiv. If you write on the leaves of an onion, it's not miskayim, and therefore you're potter, even though you're writing with ink. So Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach says that that illustration is l'chora against this Shaar Tzion. Shaar Tzion says if it lasts till the end of Shabbos, and again, even if we don't read it that literally, you know, depends how many hours till Shabbos ends, we say 24 hours. But still, if you wrote with permanent ink on an onion leaf, how long would it last? More than 24 hours. I don't know exactly how long it takes for the onion leaf to shrivel up. 2 days, 3 days, who knows? But definitely more than 24 hours. So the Rosh Shlomo Zalman thinks that that's the Rambam's example is a pircha on the pshat of the Shaar Tzion, that the Rambam holds that if it lasts till the end of Shabbos, you're chayiv. And likewise, I thought even more of a raya is from the Rambam in by Kosev, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Tezayin, where the Rambam writes about writing on your skin. The Rambam writes, HaKosev al Besaro Chayev, Mipnei Shu Or, Af al Pi Shechanimas Besaro Ma'aver Saksav L'Achar Zman, Harez Dedom El Ksav Shenimchak. The Rambam says, if you write on your skin, you're Chayev. Aye, everybody knows that when you write on your skin, it doesn't last forever. So therefore, maybe you should be potter, should be ksiva she'ena miskayemes. And he says, no, the pshat is, it's not the pshat that the ink is short-lived. It's the chamimas habasar that causes it to go away. So it's much more like mechika. I don't know what chamimas habasar means. I think probably in more modern terminology, we would attribute that to the replacement of the skin cells. Your skin cells are always, you know, falling off and being replaced. But one way or the other, the Rambam is saying that really you would have thought that Kosev al-Basara was potter. Kamash Malan, it's chayev because it's the fact that it goes away is like mechika. Now, how long is it until writing on your skin goes away? I don't know, a week, 10 days, whatever it is, 2 weeks, I don't know. It could last, probably depends a little bit on the ink, and but it's quite a while. You know, I think if you didn't scrub it off, probably would last, 10 days, a week. And the Rambam's saying, be'etzem, that should be putter, except that it's domel mechika. So what do you see? You see that, let's imagine it would, you know, it would stay at least a week, right? So then it turns out that writing something that will last a week is eino miskayim. So that's certainly against what the Shaar Tzion is saying. We see from the Rambam, and the Rambam doesn't tell us what the shear is, but at the very least, something that's going to last a week sounds like it would be potter. If the ink on its own disappears after a week, then that is potter. So what is the shear? So again, maybe the shear is to be chayiv, you need to be miskayim li'olam. Maybe that's what I would have thought. But there's a raya that that's not true. There's a raya that you don't need it to be l'olam. And that comes from a sugya in Parak called Kisvei. The Gemara over there is talking about what Sifrei HaKodesh could be saved from a burning building on Shabbos. You're not allowed to save certain things from a burning building on Shabbos because you might come to put out the fire, but Kisvei HaKodesh you can. And the Gemara Koftes Vav Amabeis wonders, what about if you have a Sefer Torah that was written in Samar Sikra? And the Gemara says, maybe you should be able to save it. It's a Sifrei HaKodesh. Or maybe you should be able to save it because it's not Miskayim. Right, the Gemara says, "Bami neirish galusa, ne rabba ravuna, hayu kos ksuvin besam besikra bekumus kankantum, lashon hakodesh matzilin oso or not." So the Gemara says, even if you say matzilin a sefer Torah that was written in another language, it's a shaila. And if you hold ein matzilin sefer Torah written in another language, is also a shaila. And what does the Gemara say? What's the tzad that you wouldn't save this sefer Torah? Odilma. Even if you say you do save Sefer Torah in another language, even though it's possible, Hani Mili, Hey Chadiksi Vibidyo Dimakayim, maybe you only save a Sefer Torah in English because it's written in permanent ink. Aval Hacha Kevan Delo Mekayim. Sam is a short-lasting ink, so therefore you would have thought. You would think maybe you shouldn't save this Sefer Torah. And the Gemara concludes, I'm really in Metzilin, and maybe but Rav says Metzilin, fine, Ayin Sham. What's relevant, though, is we're saying over here that Sam is not Miskayim. Sikra is not Miskayim. That's what the Gemara takes for granted. Sefer written in Sam and Sikra isn't Miskayim. So the Rishonim all ask, Mapitom, we know that if you are co-saved b'samu v'sikra, you're chayev on Shabbos. In other words, we have a stira. There's a halacha in Hilchos Ksiva that you're only chayev for Ksiva Miskayim, and Sam and Sikra are considered Ksiva Miskayemis. And yet, the Gemara says that maybe you shouldn't save Sfarim written in Sam and Sikra because they're not Miskayim. So which is it? Is it Miskayim or it's not Miskayim? So the Rashba addresses this question, and he gives the following answer. V'yesh lomar, d'mekayim iktas. Must be that Sam and Sikra don't last forever, but they do last some amount of time. And that's why people, when they want to write something, that they don't need it to last forever. So they write on Sam and Sikra. That's what they use. El Azman Echad Kisefer HaZichronos. I don't know what Sefer HaZichronos are. But, I think of it as like a shopping list for going grocery shopping, right? So you don't need that to last very long. And therefore, you write it with something like Sam and Sikra. V'hilkach l'inyan Shabbos meleches machshavos hi. So you're chayav. Av l'inyan svarim deba'inan davar miskayim li'olam. Hani lo mikayim. It's not considered a sefer. That's Miskayim. So that's what the Rashba says. So what does that mean? And that we paskin like this Rashba, presumably, the Bi'ur Halacha brings it down. So what does that mean practically? What does that mean practically? So first of all, let's ask a question. Why do you need Miskayim? Right? Mecha Tesi, that Darshan Miskayim is Potter. So Shlomo Zalman says, in the tshuva, I sent this to you on your Makoro sheets, he says that the reason is, because this is Chelak Aleph, you want to look it up, Simon, Sadi Aleph, Osir Aleph, that Ba'inan Domya de Mishkan, that's why you needed to be Miskayim. And even though the Mishkan was Miskayim Liolam, because Meleches Machsheves, if it's Mekayim Ktsas, that's also Chayev. That's what some in Sikra are. The truth is, when I looked at the Lashon and the Rashi, I thought it sounded a little differently. I thought the Ptur of Eino Miskayim was more because it's Ein Darko. Right, that's what he says. The reason why the short-lived writing is chayev is because shadarkan shabnei adam luchtov kain, implying that if it was really short-lived, even shorter living than salmon sikri, you'd be pater because it's lav derech ksiva. So I don't know. Again, Shlomo Zalman says it's because it's ena dumi de mishkan, or I was thinking because it's lav derech ksiva. And Meleches Machsheves tells you that you're chayev nevertheless. So again, let's try to figure out what does that mean practically? How long does that have to be? So let's think about other malachos for a moment. If you light a match, you're chayev for havara, even though that's a very short-lived flame, right? It's not going to last more than 10 seconds. Or a more extreme example, Rabbi Akiva says you're chayev for kluta kamisha huncha damya, right? So there, it's mamish not going to last. It's flying through the air. It's about to go out my window and come out the other side of my house. So what does miskayim mean? So presumably miskayim means, and Rabbi Packer made this ha'ara to me, that miskayim means that it's going to last as long as it's supposed to last. That's when you're chayev. And that might vary from malacha to malacha. So, and that's what the Rashba is saying. The Rashba is saying, well, this type of ink, Saman Sikra, so it's not going to last forever, but it lasts as long as it's supposed to last. And that's why people use it for Sefer Zichronos.
If I write with my finger in a window pane and make the shape in the window pane, that's supposed to last just long enough for people to see it and be impressed, and then I don't care if it vanishes. And yet still, it's meant to last.
So it's a good question. We could get to that. Let's talk about that in just a minute. Before we get to that more extreme example, let's go to somewhat of a less extreme example. So the Nachon Somet wanted to come up with a pen that doctors could use on Shabbos for things like taking notes for patients or writing prescriptions that wouldn't be Ksiva Deoraisa. Now again, we're not talking about using this under normal circumstances. We're using this for the care of a chola sheyesh bo sakana. But we know that a person should be memayit b'malacha, at least that's what the Rama says. You should be memayit b'malacha even for chola sheyesh bo sakana, if you could do so in a way that doesn't in any way endanger the patient. So the Machon Somet tried to figure out, is there a way that we could create a pen that wouldn't be ksiva deoraisa, and then doctors could use this pen when treating patients. Again, you wouldn't use it for a chola sheyesh bo sakana, but at least for a chola sheyesh bo sakana, if we could come up with such a pen, it would be a great idea. So they invented a pen where the ink disappears after 10 days. I assume they wanted it to be 10 days because if it was shorter than that, it might be risky. You know, this gives them enough time to copy everything after Shabbos. You could Xerox it or the like. You know, if it was disappearing ink after, 15 hours, so then if it goes a little too quickly, you could like lose the notes and it would be terrible. That might not be safe. So they felt 10 days, is safe, from a medical perspective. So is this a good idea? So they have an article about this on their website. You can look it up. And they write that Rav Mordechai Eliyahu said that this isn't ksiva de'oraisa. Ksiva de'oraisa, anytime something has a zman mugbal, in this case 10 days, it wouldn't be an iser de'oraisa. And I thought that likely this would be consistent with what the Rambam says. Because again, Rambam assumes that the writing on your skin, if it were the case that the disappearance of the writing on your skin was not because of chamimas habasar, that's like mechika, but it just, the ink itself disappeared on its own, which, you know, is probably ink on your skin lasts 10 days, it would be potter. So maybe it would work according to the Rambam. Again, a Shar Tzion wouldn't like that, but it's not crazy for the Rambam. Rosh Shlomo Zalman, though, they said, held that the shear is 3 or 4 days based off of the Rashba that we just quoted. Now, I also thought that it's not obvious that the Rashba would say it's Aser. In other words, if you look at the article, I think more or less they say, if Mordechai Eliyahu said it's not De'oraisa, Rosh Shlomo Zalman Arbach said it's going to last 10 days. It is De'oraisa. And the Minchas Yitzchak says, the Mitzchah Yitzchak Paraskin's like the Chayar Tzion, so he says if it's going to last till the end of Shabbos, it's De'oraisa. So they wrote that, made the pen anyway. They said, oh, we still have a Rain of Mordechai Eliyahu. But I thought that even the Rashba would likely say this is Potter. This is not like Sam and Sikra, because this is certainly not Derech Ksiva. The Pshat in the Sam and Sikra, in the case of the Rashba, is the pshat that, you know, I imagine, again, I don't know, but I imagine the pshat is that ink was expensive, at least in those days. Sam and Sikra were cheaper. So when you don't need something to last forever, so then you would choose Sam and Sikra. And if you did want, so that's what would be used for Zichronos. Whereas if you did need something to last forever, like you were writing Sefer Torah or your memoirs or your Chidushe Torah or the like, so then you would use some, you wouldn't use Sam and Sikra, you would pay more for Dio. But in this case, nobody would ever use ink that disappeared after 10 days. It's not Derech Ksiva. Even if it turned out that Sam and Sikra disappeared after 10 days. It's hard to imagine that it did. But even if it did, this is certainly Lav Derech Ksiva. So maybe you could even argue that according to the Rashba, this would also be Patra. So I thought this was a pretty good Eitzah. You know, it's likely not Deraisa for the Rambam. It's likely not Deraisa for the Rashba. The Shar Tzion is a very difficult shot. Anyway, so that is that. Now,
could Rabbi, get back Rabbi, to Rabbi. Could Rabbi just explain this one more time, please? I didn't follow that. But why is it not? In other words, let's say Sam and Sikra doesn't last let's say Sam and Sikra erases in 9 days. So then, why would this be different than that?
The Rashba didn't give a shear. The Rashba said the reason why this is chayav is this is a normal type of ink to write with. And Melechus Machsheves Asra Torah.
So everything's equal based on context? In other words, the Raja would agree that if you wrote a Sefer Torah with Sam and Sikra, or wrote Chidushi Torah with Sam and Sikra, then you would be Pater?
Well, nobody would ever write Chidushi Torah with Sam and Sikra.
So that's what everything.
So, well, no, I don't think so. No, I disagree with that. No, I'm not saying that. Sam and Sikra are always chayav because it's normal to write with Sam and Sikra.
When you write,
and even if you happen to write Kiddush Torah in Sam and Sikra, but still it's normal to write in Sam and Sikra, and therefore you're always chayav, even if you write Kiddush Torah. What I'm saying is that nobody would ever normally write with ink that disappeared after 10 days.
But Sam and Sikra do, and people do write with it. I write my shopping list with it. Sefer Zichronos, I always write with it. That's what the Rashba said. Isn't that what he's saying?
That's because in those days, you know, that was cheaper. So you'd save your money. You use cheap ink for your shopping list.
So Rabbi would say Sam and Sikra is
is 10 times the price. So I don't know. And I'm not saying that the Rashba would surely potter you, but What I'm saying is that the type of ink that nobody ever writes with normally should be putter. And disappearing ink, they're not, the stuff that the Tzomet Institute invented is not something that anybody ever would write with under normal circumstances. Never. You would never use this ink. So that's Ein Derech Ksiva. And the Rashba sounds like anything that's not the Derech Ksiva, you're putter on. Now, again, it's not, I understand your question. Your question is, but let's imagine that Simon Sikra lasts 10 days. And so this is Simon Sikra. And the Rashba said, Simon Sikra, you are chayev on. So that's a kasha on what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that what the Rashba is really saying is any ink that you would never use under normal circumstances because of its short-lasting nature is pater, because it's not derech ksiva. And disappearing ink is ink that you would never use under normal circumstances because it disappears. And therefore, it's lav derech ksiva and it's pater, according to the Rashba. Possibly.
Could I perhaps inject an alternative way of looking at that? Never would use Simon Sikra writing a Sefer Torah. But when you want to write now you never use disappearing ink for writing a Torah. However, if you are a doctor tending a patient on Shabbos, that's doctor the kind of ink you want to use, and it lasts long enough for your purposes. That's why they don't want to have to disappear after 2 days. You want to have it last long enough so you're able to copy it. So it seemed that if you're going to say that writing Simon Sikra is higher because it's derech ksiva for the people writing Zikronos, then writing disappearing ink is derech ksiva for doctors.
Whoa.
So that's why
this is not derech ksiva. That's why during the week you would never ever use this. And the only reason why you're using this on Shabbos is so you could be mishana. And this is a huge pain to use. You're going to have to go ahead and copy everything you wrote after Shabbos is over, recopy it so you'll have a permanent record. You're dafka trying to be mishana. This is a huge pain. And in the week, you would never, ever, ever do this. So this is like any other shinoi where you're doing something in an unusual way in order to make sure that you don't violate an Isser D'oraisa on Shabbos. The fact that you're using it on Shabbos, right? The fact that you're doing it in a mishnayic way to avoid Chilul Shabbos doesn't make it normal. If that were true, then every shinoi would be potter.
Huh.
Okay.
Rebbe?
Yes.
Wouldn't, according to Rebbe's assumption, sort of sounds like Rebbe's saying that Eino Shel Kayama is another form of Lav Derech Ksiva, but then shouldn't Kosev Abasara also be potter? Because even if you're going to tell me that the lomdus of Kosev Abasara is that you're writing something shel kayama with through an external force becomes nimchak, but like lamaisa, you're doing a shinui because you're writing something which isn't going to be miskayim.
So that's a good question. I think it's a very big difference. The reason why you're writing on your flesh is potter is because it's as though I wrote something and then somebody erased it 10 days later. That's the reason why you're potter. There's Chamimus HaBasar that comes and erases the writing. So just like, you wouldn't say that that you're potter anytime you write something where somebody is going to come and erase it 10 days later, even though it's not derech ksiva, because you wouldn't normally write things that are going to be erased. Since it's external to your writing, it doesn't pattern you from kosev. And that's what the Rambam's saying. Writing on or is normal. Every Sefer Torah is written on or. It happens to be that if the or is alive, so then it's going to get erased after 10 days because of Chamimus HaBasar. But that's not enough to make it lav derech ksiva because it's an external factor.
So then I don't understand.
As opposed to the disappearing ink, where it on its own disappears. The chisaron is in the ink. It's not in the, it's not the pshat that somebody comes and erases the disappearing ink after 10 days. It's the ink itself is only capable of being miskayim for 10 days.
So then how
and
is
then
it?
On its own, it disappears.
So then why, then I don't understand Rebbe's way of framing kayama. So then kayama, so many mikan calling it mishunadik, just say that this is halacha of kiyum, right? Why do I care if it's a fundamental reason why it's not kiyum? If it's a fundamental reason that it's not miskayim to an external reason that it's not miskayim, lagabe the person's ksiva being mishunadik.
It's a good question. Mineu bein Rambam, right? Forget my pshat. In other words, let's assume for the moment that people don't write on the skin because it's short-lived. But nevertheless, you're chayev, because the Rambam's saying that the ptur of eino miskayim is said when the ink is short-lived, and not when the writing is short-lived due to its being erased. That's what the Rambam's saying. In other words, Eina shel kayama, even if we assume the p'tur is, and again, maybe this is the advantage of the way Rosh Shlomo Zalman put it, that the p'tur of Eina shel kayama is because it's Eino domi de mishkan, but the point, either it's because it's Mishunah or it's because Eino domi de mishkan, I think the point is still the same, which is that let's say it like this. We've seen many cases where lav derech is a din in the chetza. So we saw that, for example, in Ein b'mino nitzot. And we saw that in Schitas Peros and the like. And here we're saying that in the ink. If this is ink that is short-lived, and it's such short-lived ink that you would never, ever use it to write with under normal circumstances, so then it's Eina Shel Kayama and your potter. The Rashba is saying that when you have ink that you do normally use, despite the fact that it won't last forever, but it does have normal usage, so then melechas machshavas, and you're chayev. So now the question is, what would we say about this disappearing ink? So the answer is, if people normally use this type of ink, so then you would be chayev. It would be the same as sam and sikra. But what I'm saying is, if nobody would ever use this type of ink, precisely because it disappears, you're potter. On the other hand, in the case of Kosev al-Bisaro, since the ink is totally permanent, and the truth is even the surface of the ink is permanent, because ore is permanent, it's just erased because of external factors. So that's when the Rambam says you're chayev, because as long as the ink is permanent and the surface is permanent, the fact that it disappears for some other factor is not enough to make you potter. Okay, now this actually brings us to another very similar question. One is computers. We'll talk about that in a moment. But let's talk about some other examples in the Tosefta, and then we'll go to computers. The Tosefta says the following: you're chayav if you write on dam karush or chelav karush. I assume that means that you engraved into it. Maybe it means you write on it. I'm not sure. I think it's engraved. I think it's at sarat. L'chora, it's because it's miskayim if the current conditions remain, which is very interesting. right? Maybe similar to what the Rambam says. In other words, if the current conditions remain, it doesn't melt, so then it'll last forever. And even though it's likely that the current conditions won't remain, and the dam karush or the chalav karush will melt, still that's considered niskayim. The Bir Halacha actually asks, why did the Rambam leave this out? He doesn't paskin it, because he paskins the other dinim in the Tosafta. So that might be, maybe he holds it's not derech ksiva, I'm not sure. But what about, let's give a more common example, a more straightforward example. What about writing on a whiteboard? Right? I write with a marker on a whiteboard. Is that an Isser D'Oraisa or not? Maybe mitzad achad. I would say you're chayv. It's yachol is kaim. If you don't erase it, it's going to last forever. Mitzad sheni. The whole idea of this type of ksiva is in order to erase. So first of all, what Yoni was saying before is, l'chora, you have a raya, you know, to be chayev from ksav al gabe besaro, right? Which is a similar type of thing. And it's a kal v'chomer there, so it happens on its own, right? Another raya that you would be chayev is from the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Gimel, that if you're molchek, and for that matter, presumably kosev, shava me'ala pinkas, you're chayev. And I suspect, I'm not sure I fully understand the mitzias, but I think the way the Mishnah Berurah sort of describes that is that they used to write, they had these pinkasim, and they would put wax on them, and then they would be roshim into the wax, and then they would once again put wax on them and to use again, and then roshim on the wax. Very similar to erasing the whiteboard. And the point is, even though there again, the derech is that it's short-lived. Like, I don't know, every day when the price changes, you know, like the gas station signs, they would basically put more wax on it and then write today's price. Still, your chayiv. And anyway, at this point, a number of posts can make this point explicitly. The Chazon Ish, Samech Aleph says this. So everybody agrees that even though it's the derech that this is short-lived, if you need a maisa to undo it, that's considered miskayim. Now, seeing that that's the case, there were those who say, and we'll get back to this in a moment, but there were those that say that writing on a computer screen is chayev. And even though, obviously, you know, you don't leave it there for very long, I usually erase it pretty quickly. But still, ba'etzem, it would last forever if current conditions remain and you didn't interfere. And the fact that if conditions change...
Your computer naturally just goes into sleep mode and shuts it off, and then it erases without a
mouse. So that's an interesting question. Right, so that's an interesting question. How do you look at that? We'll get back to that in a moment. How do you look at it if you have a screensaver on? There you built it into the system. Or do you say that's just a programmed erase, and maybe that's like the Chamimus HaBasar? In other words, the Chamimus HaBasar also...
The battery will eventually die. It's not...
You have it plugged in. You plugged it in. Let's give that example. Right, your computer's plugged in. Now we're going to get back to the question of computers in a second, because there are a number of other factors. But just one other point before we get there first, which I want to discuss, is the question of arai to arai. What about if you write on something that's really short-lived? So certainly it's not aser deraisa. The question is it even aser midrabana? So this is actually debated in the Ritva on Daf Kuf Dalet on the base. The Ritva says, what if you write in Mashkim, Meperos, are you Potter? So it's a Machlokas Rishonim. The Ritva quotes from his Rebbe, I assume it's the Ra'ah, that you're only Isser D'Rabbanan like Tutim, because Rishumo Nikr Miskayim Ktsas. But something that isn't even Miskayim Ktsas, like Mayim or Afra Meduldal, let's say you write, you write in the sand, I guess. Or you write in the dirt on the floor. Then he says that's mutter. In other words, it's only the Isser D'Rabbanan by Ksiva Sheina Miskayim is only if it's Miskayim Ktsas. I don't know exactly what the shear is. But if it's not even Miskayim Ktsas, it's what, you know, maybe what Rav Shechter likes to call Arai De'Arai, so then it's Mutter. But the Ritva over there disagrees with this Rabbi. He thinks it's Aser. And the Parshas is the Shulchan Aruch is Machmir on this, because the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Dalet writes that it's Aser to write on Mashkim al Gabi Ashulchan or Be'efer, which seems to be very, very short-lived. And another example of this that the Mishnah Brura brings down in Sifkat Nchaf is writing letters on a window that has, you know, frosted up or has condensation on it because of the car. So L'chaira, from there, you do see all those examples that Arai D'Arai is Aser. Not sure. I think Rabbi Sabalowski tried to argue that maybe you can't bring Arai from there, because there is some type of kiyum. Said that even writing on the window, because there's an oily residue that remained that will prevent it from getting fogged up the next time. So maybe there is some type of kiyum. So, but the Pashtus is from the Shulchan Aruch, and that we paskin that even Arai D'Arai is Aser Midrabban. And any writing that, even if it's very short-lived, will still be Aser D'Rabbanan. Now, what
this
about...
This would seem to relate to playing Scrabble, Shabbos.
We're going
to
get to the
letters.
Scrabble might be much for a totally different reason. Because there you're not writing any letters. You're not creating any letters. The letters exist. We'll get to Scrabble soon, I hope.
Okay.
So, now what about putting a sheet onto a projector? You guys might be too young to remember these things, but when I used to go to school...
In the schools in Baltimore, they were old enough to have projectors.
Right, Baltimore is very old-fashioned. You know, they're always 10, 20 years behind everybody else. So
we were old enough to have them and young enough to not be sure why they were still necessary.
Anyway, okay, good. So you know what they're talking about. So the Shevet HaLevi says, now that's okay. That's not kosev. There's no kiyum at all. And in the Dirshu, it quotes from Nissen Karelitz as being machmir. He says, no, this is ksiva shenem es kayemes. Shevet HaLevi still says you shouldn't do it on Shabbos because of a zilzel, but it's not ksiva. So is the Shevet HaLevi saying, there's a het of Arai D'Arai? So I don't think so. I don't think that's what he means. He's saying that there's no mamashas here. Even if you're going to be machmir for Arai D'Arai, you have to have some type of mamashas. For example, nobody thinks there's a shailof kosev, you know, because of your shadow. Nobody thinks that looking at the mirror is kosev. Even if you write on a foggy window, there's some mamashas. Even if 5 seconds later, it's gone. But there's some mamashas. The projector has none. It's like what the Shulchan Aruch is matir, writing with your air, you know, you're writing in the air with your fingers. Computer screen might be more complex than there might be mamashas. It's not like the projector. The projector simply works by blocking the light. So I think that when it's, even if we're going to be machmir, the Pashto says we are machmir for Arai D'Arai here. But if it's something that has no mamashas at all, then everybody's going to be mat. I should say everyone. Nissen Karelitz was machmir. But the Pashto says that we're matir in that case. And that brings us to the case of computer screens. So the Nishmas Avram quotes Shlomo Zalman Orbach as saying that there's no ksiva when you type on a computer screen, because the letters that appear on the screen are the result of a continuous impact of the electrons on phosphorus when each key is depressed. And that's not, first of all, that's not right, similar to writing in a Mishkan. And it's not even writing at all. Now, Shlomo Zalman is quoted slightly differently in different places. Some places he's right. He's quoted as saying he's mesupak. Maybe it should be ksiva d'rabbanan. Rav Bleich quotes him in the article that I sent you. Just one second. In the article that I sent you, as he didn't regard images produced by electronically generated fluorescent illumination as even ephemeral writing, because such a phenomenon involves neither imposition of one substance upon another, nor rearrangement of an existing substance, nor does it involve etching letters onto a hard surface. And Rav Moshe says a similar type of svara, and the tshuva also I sent to you about closed circuit televisions. Rav Moshe has a lashon, he thinks it's like even less than, he doesn't say it's mutter, but it's less than ksiva shena miskayemes. And Rav Neuwirth says that this, by the way, has implications not just for Kosev on Shabbos. He thinks that's why there's no iser mechika on erasing a name of Hashem from a computer screen. There's an article from Rav Halperin published in Yeshura, and I also sent that to you, that Mar Makom, where he says that the images on a screen or a television or the like are basically, from a halakhic perspective, he argues, equivalent to an image reflected in a mirror. We pass in a mirror is mutter, that's in Hilchos Shabbos. Reish, I mean, Shin Beis, if Yud Gimel, and therefore this should be the same. Others disagree. Some say it, most poskim say it's at least aser midirabanan. And if you look at Dirshu note 60, quotes in Hashem Alevi, it should actually be aser midiraisa. Because he says that, look, you wrote, and as we said before, with respect to the writing on the congealed blood, the current conditions maintain, it'll stay like this forever. It's true they might change, but that's from an external involvement. And even if you build into a system the erasure, like a screensaver, but that is, again, that's like building a machine that's going to erase your writing. So just like if I wrote with a pencil on paper, and I wrote it on paper, and then I had a machine that every 10 minutes took an eraser and erased what I wrote, you'd be chayev. Just because that's like the writing on the Chamimah Savasar. So Bekitzer, there are those that say it's chayev. Most poskim say it's aser midirabanan, and some even argue it's nothing at all. It's like the projector. It's like the mirror. The Chachma also says it's similar. Yes,
but Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Moshe are all very good for computers from like the 90s, but computer screens don't work that way anymore.
Okay, how do computer screens work nowadays?
As in the 90s and into the 2000-aughts, you had CRT computers, where basically what was happening was you had some light going up and down really quickly, producing light with no mamashness whatsoever. But now that we've invented LCD computers, LCD computers require, as best as I can tell, some type of electric charge to keep them going, but there is a mamashness. The LCD computer effectively creates more or less a stencil that allows the light from the back to go through. And it's just reconfiguring where there are holes in the stem, and seems mamish like a case of chaktuchos. It's just happening quickly. But there is a physical substrate now.
I can't comment much because I don't know the metzias. And I don't know what, if anything, changed. You're saying that the image on my computer that I'm looking at now, there's actually a shape.
I'm saying that the way that an LCD computer works is that, think of it as two different screens. You have a light in the back, which is just a flashlight that illuminates in front. And then you have two polarized, then you have what is effectively a stencil in between, which is a physical thing, that the electricity causes certain parts of it to be permeable to light and other parts of it to be impermeable to light in ways that the light only gets through the points that are not electrically charged at that moment, which means that if you were to theoretically hold up the front part of your computer screen with no light whatsoever, it would look mamish like a stencil. But it means that the way that the computer works...
But it's still not mamish, it's just an electric charge, you're saying.
No, that it is mamish. Okay. It is mamashos. The electric charge switches parts of the screen from being a type of material that can allow light through to being a type of material that cannot allow light through or back and forth. But the image that's in front
It's not at all obvious that that... I said, I don't know the answer to your question, but
well,
it's not
Rabbi,
at all
for
obvious
example,
to me.
For example, let's take the projector case. Let's take the protector case that Rabbi just spoke about. So, Micha, the projector on the wall isn't writing. But I think Kulei Amelo Pligi, that to make one of those plastic sheets that you put onto the projector thing, that would be Ksifa.
Well, that's because you're writing on the projector sheet. There you're using ink to write on a projector.
Even if you made it so that the paper itself, if you set up the, if I could print out paper that was see-through wherever I wanted it to come out and the paper itself was non-see-through elsewhere, I think LCD might be worse than that.
Without?
But that would still be clean.
Without ink?
Well, if I that would be either chak tuchos or chak yirechos. That would certainly be one of them.
No, because there it's mamashus. That's with ink. Chak tuchos and chak yirechos are both have an ink on a paper which has mamashus.
No, if I carve something into a wall, that has no ink. Huh? If I carve letters out into a wall, that doesn't have ink.
But there it's a depression in the wall. You don't have that either here. You just have an electrical charge.
No. Okay. Ignore electricity for a moment. Because for the moment, ignore electricity charges whatsoever. Imagine that I could go up to a wall and, I don't know, make an A-shaped portion of the wall completely see-through, held in the construct of the rest of the wall. And I did that in order to make the electrical charge. I'm not seeing the electrical charge with an LCD screen. I'm not seeing anything electric for that matter. What I'm seeing is just stam that I have a stencil in front of me that I can see through. It's mamish seems like a physical substrate.
I don't know. It's a good question. Have you found the this?
What, me?
Yes, you.
No,
agree.
Everyone just seems to quote from Shlomo Zalman is talking about CRT screens and then doesn't seem to note that things seem like they should be different.
I think you might perhaps compare it to the Scrabble game because there's no new physical substance on the screen, LCD screen. What you have is the electrical state of the surface of the screen is changing, so the light, you know, will come through or not come through. So you're rearranging things. So maybe
but you're not,
it is a bit similar to Scrabble.
But it's not rearranging. Theoretically, if I left this charge turning the LCD screen on in perpetuity, if I left this screen charged, I would have a permanent stencil that looked like whatever I wanted it to look like. That's not quite the same as... That's not rearranging. I don't know.
Why don't we go on for now? And even though you told me about this a couple years ago, Gabe, I don't know enough with this. Certainly requires some more investigation, and at least for me, a better understanding of the Metzius. Let's go back to the question of taking a movie, like the case of video surveillance. So we already mentioned that, one other point. So let's assume for a moment, like that writing on the computer screen, according to Gabe, this would only be an old-fashioned computer screen, is not a problem of kosev, at least not kosev mideoraisa. But what about when you store it on your hard drive, when you hit save? So then is that considered writing, the saving on the hard drive? And that is permanent. So there's an interesting Yerushalmi, Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Dalet, that discusses writing with invisible ink, and then someone pours some other type of ink onto it, revealing the hidden letters. You know, before James Bond, there was the Ushami. And so that's the way spies used to write. So the Ushami says you're chayev, because it's like kosev agav ksav agav ksav. So Ushami is definitely saying you're chayev in the second step, when you pour the ink that reveals the hidden letters. It's not clear whether you're chayev on the first step. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says you wouldn't be chayev on the first step, at least, let's say, with saving, likewise with saving on the disk drive. And that's because there's no way to read that writing on the disk, at least not with the human eyes. So the saving is not co-save, because there's nothing that was written that's visible to the eyes. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach does say, though, saving on a disk is a problem of bona. Bona. So we'll get to bona soon. But what does have anything to do with bona? Because you've transformed this blank disk into a full disk. And whenever you use raw materials to create something else of greater value, like the bricks that build a house, that is a shiloh of bona. That's a very interesting idea. And even though, what's interesting is, even though Shlomo Zalman says that, say, regular electricity is not shaykh to bona, he disagrees with the Chazon Ish, here he says it is. It's similar to, you know, the famous Chai Adam, who says that winding a watch is a problem of bona because you're bringing it to life. We'll have to get back to that when we
Rabbi? Teach
the Lachas bona and makash. Just 1 second. But that, anyway, might be okay nowadays. It's one thing, he said it, if you save on a diskette. Over here, where you're saving, and you're probably even saving on the cloud, especially with most of these video recorders. So it's not like you're bringing a dead thing to life, because there's already lots of things being stored here, and now maybe just a little tiny bit more. In the safer... on Hilchos Chol HaMoed, Sefer Hilchos Chol HaMoed, they quote a machlokes, what Rosh Shlomo Zalman meant. Did Rosh Shlomo Zalman only think it's on a blank tape that it's a shaila bona, or even in a full disk? So we'll get back to that bona shaila a little bit later. But let's talk about the basic question of, like we said, video surveillance. So again, the reason why this is a shaila is because, as we know from the Rambam, Roshem is also an Isser de Oraisa. So even though here, in the case of pictures or x-rays or video surveillance, there's no ksiva, there's no writing, but there's a problem of creating an image. And therefore, potentially, we're dealing with an Isser. Might it be de Oraisa? So some poskim say, Rav Eliashiv says, it's not going to be d'oraisa because it's shelo kedarko. And that's a very interesting application of shelo kedarko. This is similar to what Yoni was bringing up before. In fact, if you saw that article I sent you from Rabbi Bleich, he says that he doesn't know why this is considered shelo kedarko. People take pictures of themselves all the time. Whereas Rav Eliashiv was saying, no, that ksiva kedarko means with a pen or a paintbrush or a stylus or something like that. Anyhow, but what does this mean? What does this mean practically? So again, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach wasn't concerned so much in terms of ksiva with the image on the disk drive or on the film or the like. The question is more on the screen when it appears. And he said that's an Isser de Rabbanan. And since that's only an Isser de Rabbanan, then perhaps there's room for leniency, especially if you assume it's Kalach HaYad, it's a Psikresha de Lo Nichale, and especially if it's somebody else's video surveillance, you could argue that it's going to be Mutter. It's going to be Mutter. Why? Because, again, we're not worried about the image in the hard drive and the image on the screen. So I'm not interested in that. And it's Shelo Kedarko, and it's Eno Miskayim, it's a Psik Resha de Lo Nichale, and a double de Rabbanan. We already saw that many are Mekel on that case. Many are meikel in case. Velash is a little more machmir, because he thought that this is considered permanent, because as we said, you know, if nothing, if the conditions continued, it would last, but nevertheless, he thought it's only a derabbanan shaila, because it's eino miskayim. The melacha deraisa is only when you use your hands. Now there's another kula, we're going to talk about this more in a moment, that Rav Osner had, which brings us back to that Rashba we talked about in Meleches Tzeda. And that's the idea that if there's no pe'ula and the person doing the melacha that at least connects directly to the melacha, I'm just walking, happens to be that the video camera is capturing my image when I walk in and out, that also might not be a melacha, or might be a type of grama. So that's why some poskim are meikel. Some poskim are meikel. They say this isn't even ksiva derabanan at all. The Psel HaChachma says that this is not ksiva at all. So that's a question. The I saw an article from the Star K that Rabbi Heinemann asked Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky the following question. This is a different shaila, but you'll see in a moment why it's relevant. In Baltimore, if you open your faucet on Shabbos, I think it's quite common now. So the meter measures how much water is used, and then it wirely sends that information to the billing agency. The information does not appear on any screens in the agency, but it's stored on their computers. So is that a problem? Can I turn on my sink on Shabbos if I know that doing so will cause the information, you know, to be stored on the computers in the water company? So Chaim Kanievsky thinks that wasn't a problem at all. And Rabbi Heinemann deduced from this that any activity on Shabbos which indirectly causes information to be stored on a computer is permissible, as long as nothing appears on the screen, no lights change colors, nothing detectable to the five human senses occurs. Everything occurs invisibly on the computer.
So then refrigerators should be mutter, the new refrigerators with computer setup.
Well, yes and no. In the case of the refrigerator, there might be an additional problem because physically things happen. In other words, as soon as I open the door, the fan goes off, and that causes the humidity to go in, which causes the heater to have to get rid of the water. In other words, those might be okay, but all sorts of things are happening. Now, they might be grama. The reason why those might be mutter is it's a psikresha of the grama, but that's a totally different shaila. There, things that I sense and I see and I hear are happening. And so if they aren't considered grama, for example, then you have a problem, right? If every time I open my refrigerator, the light goes on, the motor stops running, something changes immediately in a way that's noticeable. So that has nothing to do with this discussion. Here we're talking about a discussion. This might be relevant for those watches people like to have, which, you know, count how many steps they made. Or again, in the case of video surveillance. In the case of video surveillance, let's assume that you turned off the screen, right? It's not the pshat like in YU where, you know, when you walk into the base medrash, the guys in the security system and the security people in Gluck are looking at your face. Let's assume for a home security system, you turned off all the images, right? So there's nowhere where this is anything discernible to any of the five senses is changing. It happens to be that recorded on your system in the cloud is your picture, right? And if you wanted to go ahead and retrieve after Shabbos all the, you know, look at everybody walked in your house on Shabbos, you'd be able to do that. But at the time that it's happening, nothing at all happens. No lights go on, no images. So Rav Heinemann thought that according to Shlomo Zalman, according to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, that would be okay. So therefore, So let's think about the cases very quickly. So if it's somebody else's video surveillance, then there's makom to be mako, because it's a psik resha de lo nichale on an iser de rabbanon. So even though we're machmir, we don't follow the arach, we're machmir on a psik resha de lo nichale, like we saw by Misach Reis and Azaisa. And we're machmir on a psik resha de iser de rabbanon. We'll talk about that soon. We don't hold the truma sadashen. But psik resha de lo nichale and an iser de rabbanon, and especially a double de rabbanon, there is a lot of room for leniency. Again, we saw the Chazon Ish didn't like that extrapolation. But others are mako, Rav Avadia is mako for sure. Again, we talked about this already by the Dror and the Fly, the Sefer Truma. But again, well, maybe we'll go back to that now. It's late now, so I don't want to go rehash all these old issues. But there's room for leniency in this case. Again, we'll go back. Maybe we'll talk about it when the next malacha, when we do Shin Yud Aleph, we'll go back to this when we do Bona. But l'chora, there is ample ground b'shas atzorech to be mako on this, which is again l'chora psik reishon nisar derabanan, psik reishon lo nichalei, maybe even a double derabanan. And even though again the Mishnah Berurah says you should only be mako b'makom tzorech, take a look at Shin Tes Zayin Hey, or Shin Chaf Aleph Nun Zayin. But Lamaisa, this is a tzorech, because nowadays, if you're machmir on this, you couldn't go anywhere. You couldn't leave your house. You might not even be able to stay in your house, but you certainly couldn't leave your house. So when it's somebody else's video surveillance, even if they have a screen, they're certainly makom to be mako. There's other kulas, Yefshar Ben Yenacher, remember we talked about that by the Taz, walking on the snow. We also have the Tzad Lahakel of the Shevet Alevi comparing this to the Rashba by Tzeda. You could argue with Shalok Kederach Siva, you could argue with Tzeda Miskayim. So there are a lot of leniencies when it's somebody else's security system, because then it's mamish psik reisha de lo nichalei. If it's your own system, it's a more not so pashut. And the truth is, even for like say the YU system, you could argue it's not so pashut, because even though it's not my security system, I want to be safe. And this was the shaila that came up a number of years ago when they had the security cameras by the Kosel. And do we say it's lo nichalei? I couldn't care less. Or do we say no? I want to be safe at the Kosel, and therefore if this is a system that's designed to protect my safety, maybe it's a problem. So for your own home security system, ideally, because it's less pashut, you should turn it off for Shabbos. You should turn it off for Shabbos. Somebody else's security system, you don't have to worry. Your own system, ideally, turn it off for Shabbos. But if you need it on for Shabbos, for purposes of safety, so there's also room for leniency as long as you turn off all the screens, based off of what we saw from Rav Heinemann's understanding of Heinemann's pshat, where Lamaisa, nothing at all is happening that's visible to the eye or any of the five senses on Shabbos. But you just have to make sure that under those circumstances, you turn off all the screens or the like. If you're going to keep the screen on, then it's less pashut. Yes.
Could you at least make a case that would suffice that if you just had, like lots of security screens have, that rotate through the different screens, that if you only had a particular screen on like 80% of the time or something like that, so then it's a subject secretia about whether or not you're causing anything to appear on a screen. And maker didn't wear maker.
Okay, that's not a bad example. Assuming, think about that. The only thing is that if you're going to, if you're going to stay in the room for 3 minutes, so you know that it's going to be on you and you know you're making a difference. In other words, if I'm just walking in front of a house, so that would be fine. But if I'm, if I'm in the area being surveilled for several minutes, then that's less obvious.
It would still, this, I guess, somewhat connects back to the question we had by running on grass, but for every action you're doing, it's still not clear you're causing a melasa. And depending on how connected you think the actions are to each other, at least to some degree, seemingly, we say that by a psikratia. That we wouldn't say...
Agreed. Yeah, I hear that. Okay. We didn't finish co-save, unfortunately. But hopefully on Thursday we will. And so we're going to go on, even though there's much more to say on these topics. We'll get back to some of them. Others, we'll talk about Scrabble, opening library books. You should read that Tshuvas HaRamah that I sent you if you didn't do that yet. The Magen Avraham by opening the Parochas or another version of the Scrabble, Shaila. Make sure you've seen that. And then we'll hopefully on Thursday start Melechas Mochek, and maybe even finish Melechas Mochek. And then from there, we're going to go on, you know, in Mochek, we're going to talk about the letters on the birthday cake. We'll spend a lot of time on that, as we probably won't finish Mochek. And we'll finish Mochek maybe next Sunday. And for Mochek, we're going to go on to the Shailas Yisurim DeRabbanan, Ativ Siva. So we're going to talk about things like commerce on Shabbos, married on Shabbos, and all that fun stuff. Okay. So we'll stop here. Everyone, have a good day.
Rabbi?
Yes.
As Rabbi understands it, what exactly is the svara behind Rabbi Heinemann's leniency?